This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
On today's show, we'll be talking about board games and the gamification of financial literacy with Hemant Doshi. He's the CEO of the Praxis Company, Singapore and Malaysia. Financial literacy is a phrase that has been getting a lot of attention in recent years. Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng recently said that he's concerned about financial literacy here in Malaysia. A recent study even found that our financial literacy is at 36%. In contrast, developed countries normally peak at 59%. So not only are we nowhere in the same ballpark, but that's why a lot of schools have begun teaching finance to children, and companies like Praxis have come up with unique solutions to bring financial literacy to kids and adults in a more engaging way. Before we get into all that, though, first we need to define what exactly Praxis is.
Well, Praxis is a board game that was developed to make financial literacy easy and fun to learn. It's developed by two of us, myself and Mr. Wee Chi Yu, who's also one of the co-founders of the business.
So Praxis is like Monopoly or Sidena, which is the Malaysian version of Monopoly.
Of course. I mean, as far as comparisons count, they are board games. The content is specific in Praxis to financial planning. Other board games have their merits and they focus on different areas. But that's as close as it gets.
Okay. What's the difference, Praxis and Monopoly?
Okay. So Monopoly, you've played Monopoly?
Yes.
Yes. So Monopoly is a property game. So you own a property and you monopolize the board and you get the players out of the game. That's Monopoly. It works. Praxis is about managing your money. It's about having a job, losing your job, paying your rent, getting some insurance, getting some retirement plans started, saving some money, buying a property, buying some stocks and shares, losing your money because of the stocks and shares, experiencing some very interesting breaking news like how China tariffs are affecting the world. And all these simulations are brought into the Praxis world. So in the Praxis world, the player actually goes through life, and we put the player in the Praxis world so that the player can experience what life can be in that short period of time. And at the end of the Praxis world, the player retires. So the player gets to see a snapshot of what it means to retire and what it means or what are the consequences of not doing certain things in the Praxis world. So that's what Praxis is all about.
So how do you, is there any way to win the game, or is winning retiring with enough money in hand?
Well, around there. We always need a winner. A game is only a game when there is a winner.
Yeah.
So in Praxis, the winner is the person who makes the most amount of money at the end of the game. But that can only be done if the right strategies are employed and the right moves are made during the gameplay. So it's a bit about pushing the player to think about what they should do, what they shouldn't do, and how much protection they should have that's adequate so that if there is a calamity, they are covered and their cash is not burnt. That's the basic tenet of Praxis, which is to teach the player, whether you're a player, you're a kid, you're a housewife, you're a banker, or you're an employee. The idea here is to make financial literacy easy, interesting, fun, palatable, and yet very succinct so that you understand what it means in that 1.5 hours. I get it. That's what we want to do.
So it's like if, let's say, someone who never thought about financial literacy, who was not, let's say someone who wasn't that interested before, they play the game and by the end of the game, they go like, look, when I retire in, like, in real life, I want to have this much of money for me to be comfortable. It gives them like a snapshot of 25, 35 years into the future for themselves.
Exactly. Whether you're young or old, like my daughter, she played Praxis when she was 7 or 8. So it was very fluff for her. But she understood there are big business cycles in Praxis. And business cycles do affect certain things in her life. And she understood that she may become unemployed along the way. But what we've seen as we do it with younger audiences and working adults is they get it. They get it that they need to have a balanced portfolio of a bit of everything and not all of something. And that's what is the magic of Praxis. It forces you, in a way, to have that balanced portfolio.
Does Praxis also deal with unemployment? Can you get unemployed in the game?
Yes. So we've designed the game in such a way that nobody gets out. So we just make the players suffer. So you get unemployed.
It's like life.
It's pretty much like life. We even dish out loans. And we've got very interesting loan shark rates in the game. So every $1,000 that we lend you, the player has to pay back $2,000. Wow. So the player gets into debt. The player may be unemployed, may be miserable. By the end of the game, the player will say, thank God it's just a game. I was in a risk-free environment. I learned something.
It's like waking up from a dream.
Nightmare, I guess.
Nightmare,
if that's what happened, yes.
How did the, or where did the idea for something like this come up? Like, where did it come from?
Yeah, so this is almost an 18-year-old story. We were just sitting around. I'm from Singapore, and I studied at the National University of Singapore. Mm-hmm. And I did pretty well, I thought, as a student, until I myself got into financial trouble. And that time, we had the whole stock market bull run, and I invested a lot of something I didn't have in the market. So me and a few friends, including Mr. Wee, we got done thinking. We come out as graduates. We did very well. We are prepped for the business world. That is, I can go out and get a job anytime with my CV. I can do financial accounting in the company. But when it comes to personal finance, school didn't really teach me much about it. So we realized there was a slight gap. And with our experiences in the markets, we said, maybe there is an opportunity. And this was 18 years ago. Mm. So we started off with a very altruistic note. Let's just make somebody else financially literate. We paid it forward. So we went around, did some talks and all. And as much as I'm a great speaker and I can keep a person engaged, after half an hour, 45 minutes, I kept people waning off. I realized this is not going to work. So we decided to create a platform. And back then, the only type of platform we know how to create was a board game. The internet was still very raw then. So we created a board game literally in the kitchen. And we took that and I said, okay, look, let's test it out. Because there's no point me and you talking about it daily and say it's great. So we hunted for our first audience, and that was the toughest part. We were literally thrown out of every educational institution you can think of. The usual retort, this is, you want to teach the kids about stock markets? Are you crazy? This is a game. You can't teach anything with a game. Hmm. So we were, I think, ahead of the curve. So we kept pushing on, and then we found our first client who was willing to take that bet. And as they say, after that, it's all history.
Who was the client?
The client was the Institute of Technical Education, ITE for short. And that itself is a story. We got the client, we got the contract, but we only had smokes, lines, and diagrams. We had nothing else.
You had no game.
We had a prototype. That's it. We sold a concept. And they said they loved it. Let's run it.
How many did they order?
Well, our business model is not to sell the games, Arvind. What we do is we use the games as a means to an end. It's a training tool.
Okay.
So we never sell the games. We work with our clients to either run events from us, by us, or we train them and license the games to them. So going back to the IT story, he said, great, send in your trainers. We didn't have any. And we'll do this. We had no lesson plan, no trainers, nothing. We just had a nice idea. So you can imagine, we loaned some cash. We didn't have cash either. We're all broke.
Okay.
So we loaned some cash. I remember 50,000 Singapore dollars. We ran around and got it all graphically, beautified the product, got it printed. We plunked all the cash in to create enough games for the training. We created a training program. We created the deck, the slides, everything. So that was a helter-skelter. One day before the event, we were sitting below our blocks packing the games. That's how close it was. And here's the clincher. Time came, and so did SARS.
Oh, no.
That was exactly the same time SARS hit this part of the world. The Ministry of Education said, blanket, all schools, not allowed to invite external vendors into your school.
Oh, on the day that you were supposed to have your event.
One day before we got that news. It was all over the press. So we begged, said, look, we're all ready. This is going to be great.
Yeah.
You will not regret it. So the officer over there was kind enough. He spoke to his boss and said, it's okay. We'll make an exception. So we ran it. Hmm. And in true entrepreneurial spirit, we called the press.
And the press showed up.
Hmm. We ran an event at a time when we're not supposed to be there. The press came. They took beautiful pictures. They had a nice write-up of it. Mm-hmm. It came out in newspapers. A week later, we were called by the Monetary Authority of Singapore.
Mm-hmm. I figured that that's where this was going, okay.
And they said, let's work together.
Oh, twist.
Beautiful twist. And we've been working with the MAS since. It's part of the Money Sense programs.
Okay, so how did that event itself go? Like what did you do at the event?
Well, basically what we ran for the school was we ran training for 30 to 40 students per class. So we had three classes we ran for that day.
Okay.
So each of us took class. There was only three of us that day. So we're the only trainers there. So we ran the event. It was not an event. It was actually a financial literacy workshop. We ran a workshop. We ran topics around the game. So we played the game and then we taught the kids what it means to manage their money, talk a bit about insurance planning, talk a bit about savings habits and how they should do it and so forth. But we realized we didn't have to talk so much because they were so engaged in the game. They were so in it. They really got it. The aha moments were so many. We realized we're onto something. And everybody else since then loves to play Praxis.
We're going to take a quick break for some messages, but stick around. We'll talk more about Praxis and financial literacy with Hemant Doshi when we come back. BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for business on BFM 89.9. This is Arvind Yuvaraj with Hemant Doshi. He's the CEO of the Praxis Company Singapore and Malaysia. Now, what is Praxis? Praxis is a board game designed on the premise of financial literacy. It's basically the physical gamification of financial literacy, and it's even customizable to fit the needs of different groups and companies and clients. Your customers are companies, so you're a B2B product. How does Praxis help these companies and customers?
Good question. So we have principally two models. One is what we call event-driven. So we do have our own stock of games. So when a client wants to run something, MNCA wants to run something, we'll get a bit more requirements. What's the target audience? What's the key messages in financial wellness you want to send across? Okay, then we do a training program and we run it. If it's a school, likewise. You want to run it in 3 hours, you want to run it over 10 weeks, we build a curriculum and we run it. Mm-hmm. If it's a banking client, they say, I want to do client engagement, or I want to recruit new agents, then we'll run it. So as you can see, it's the same game, but we run it differently. The secret sauce in Praxis is the different gameplays that we can develop for each audience. So for every audience that we deal with, we have a made-for-purpose gameplay design. And till now, we've built over 100 gameplays. So we have that expert level already. Mm-hmm. So that's model A, if they do not have the resources to do it on their own. Model B, which is the preferred model by many of my clients, is, okay, I would like to lease the games from you instead. So I'll ask the client, what's the purpose? How many gameplays do I need to design for you? We get all the information out, and we design the gameplays, and we allow them to co-brand the board. Then we make special purpose games for them to use by them for their own engagement purposes. Then we train them on how to use it. We certify them as certified game masters and certified game facilitators. So we do that training. We lease the games to them. They run it. My clients take the games on for 6 months, 1 year, 2 years. And then we just consult and guide them on how else they can do better.
Give us an example of like customization. Like what would you change?
Well, they would like to do it in many ways. Mm. So that's where we'll come in and guide them. What's the best fit model?
Yeah.
This is a messaging tool. This is a communication tool about money, about finance. Mm. You cannot have too many messages in one game. The poor audience will be lost. That's where we come in and guide the client on how best to achieve your objectives. If your objective is to instill in the client the feature sets of your latest critical illness product, we build that into the game. And we make sure that your clients will understand what are three critical features there are in this particular plan.
Did you guys also figure out the game mechanics? Like now you say you if you customize it, you advise your clients that, you know, this might not work or you shouldn't design a game this way. So who figured out the game mechanics in the beginning? Was it you guys or did you consult? Did you get advice from someone else?
So when myself and we designed the game first, we did get some, I would say, opinions from the market. Opinions from educators, opinions from financial advisors, insurance companies. So just get a sense check of where it was. Naturally, we get a mix of reactions. Some will say this is unreal. Some would say this is fantastic.
Yeah.
So we took it all on, and then we just made sure the game was always balanced. At the end of the day, you must remember one thing. This is a game. We are putting you in a virtual world.
Mm.
We are putting you in a risk-free environment. There's no such thing as a $6,000 property, except in Praxis.
Yeah, yeah. In Praxis's universe. Right.
In Praxis universe, we allow all this to happen.
Mm.
But in the Praxis universe, I can also put you in the hospital.
Yeah.
But you don't feel the pain.
Mm.
You feel the financial pain. So
the Praxis financial pain.
Correct.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We do all that in the game. So that's the idea. We immerse the player in. It's tactile. So we immerse the player into the game so that they experience all of this. And that didn't come by chance. It was something that we designed on purpose. We just didn't realize this is what it was.
Yeah, so you know, you actually answered my next question, because I was going to ask you, like, you know, how did you balance the fun versus serious business aspect of the game itself? Like, because games should be fun. They should be fun, but for Praxis, players also need to learn something from it, right? It also needs to be business.
Spot on. So we belong in this unique space.
Mm.
This is what is known in the gaming world as a serious game. In that category, there's casual games, there's serious games. So we are in the serious game category. However, within that, we are in the edutainment business as well. After all, this is about engaging somebody. You want to engage somebody, that person wants to have rara, wants to enjoy themselves. Yep. You don't want to come in and listen to Professor Haman Doshi talk about what it means to save money. They can go to Uncle Google, and with Google Home Mini, he'll tell you everything. But that's not the same. It's not the same versus you experiencing what it means to pass the $200 and to lose $5,000. And that is what Praxis does. So while it is a serious game, we had to balance it. It can't be too theoretical.
Mm.
So if I can push that person up to that edge, what's next? The insurance company will say, let me help you. And that's how we work in partnership with insurance companies.
Okay, what's your target market for Praxis? Like what kind of company can benefit from this the most?
My initial target market was intervention, going to schools.
Mm.
Because it's a white space, they've got no knowledge. That's what I wanted to do. That's what I experienced myself as a student. So I wanted to change something. Okay, let's do that. Then along the way, we brought in more shareholders and executives in the insurance world. They said, look, there is this other gap in this part of the world as well, in these industries as well. And that's where we propel the business into these other areas. So it's a bit of what I thought, and there were a lot of blind sides on me. And then suddenly I've got a 360 view of how big the gap is.
And how many sort of like demographics you can cater to?
Which is everyone.
Everyone.
Everyone, anyone, no matter whether you're a farmer, you're a banker, you're a student, a teacher, it doesn't matter. Everybody needs financial education.
I'm interested in some case studies. Like you said, anyone in pharma might also need, sort of like benefit from Praxis. How? How do you help someone like that?
So very simple. If it comes to corporations, they are employees. And statistics are out there. A high percentage, 30 to 40%, are less productive when they have a financial headache.
Hmm.
If they can't manage their month-to-month cash flow, they're not a productive employee. It's a major stressor on them. It'll definitely lead to absenteeism in the organization. So for that organization, that's not a good thing to have. What they want to do is to educate the staff. So we do have programs for such organizations that we do what we call financial wellness. Whether you're a farmer or you're in manufacturing, you're an employee. The minute you have month-to-month cash flow issues, you need to understand what you need to do first.
And Praxis shows you how that scenario will play out.
Praxis shows all this on a very visual board.
Mm-hmm.
That part of this needs to go to savings. You need to start your retirement planning. Oh, I haven't started that yet. So can you imagine, right now, you stop earning your income, but you have to pay $2,000 every month to medical. Where's that money coming from? So Praxis shows that. It shows you the power of insurance. Many of us take it for granted. It's something you don't want to use, but if you ever have to use it, at least you're sorted.
Mm-hmm.
So the cornerstone of financial planning is basically to have your insurance plan sorted. So first, you have to do your budget. Next, you have to get your insurance plan sorted. And then worry about wealth accumulation. So all this can be taught. It can be in a classroom. One full day program, I can talk and talk and talk. I can guarantee you after the first coffee break, it's out of the window. But when you pay Praxis at the end of the day, you'll be talking about it, that you'll say, I better do something about this.
Is that what your feedback has been like? Like, what kind of feedback do you get, like, normally from people who, you know, who go to these events and classes?
Right. So immediate feedback is always fantastic. I enjoyed it. Fully engaged for the past how many hours I've done this. Learnings, very high. That's the reason why we are always in the schools. Teachers invite us back all the time because there is a learning element in that. So the feedback is always great that they're fully engaged and they learn something. So that has been consistent ever since we've run Praxis from day one. Whether we do it in English, in Bahasa, in Mandarin, it doesn't matter. In Thai, I've done in Praxis in Thai and I don't speak Thai.
Did you have to learn or you got someone else?
So I just had a guy translating every step of the way. But this is the beauty of gamification. After I just translated, he translated all the rules. They were playing. The game took control. And I didn't have to do anything else after that. The game speaks for itself. The messaging comes out.
Yeah.
Then the most important home run here is the debrief. At the end of the day, a training program is just a training program until you say, okay, guys, today we focus a lot on retirement planning. Let me tell you what this really means. Bam, 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 bam. And that's where you get it.
Okay, I've been speaking with Hemant Doshi, the CEO of the Praxis company, Singapore and Malaysia. You can check out thepraxis.co to know more about the board game itself and how it helps kids and working adults alike attain better financial literacy. There's actually more from Hemant coming up next week in part two of this interview, so tune in for that next Friday. Download this interview via the BFM app or on the BFM website, which is bfm.my, or find us on Spotify. We are parked under the podcast section. This has been Arvind Yuvaraj on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.